Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, we are.
Praise God. It's good to be back together on another Thursday night to the glory of God. And so we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow down and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And Sheila G., we thank God for getting us back together with the word, and thank God for the power of the word that is always relevant in the times that we live in. You know, and that's why we're studying and we're calling our Bible study There's Nothing New Under the Sun, because the Word of God is never changing, and it's always relevant. And we thank God for giving us this Word, because been dealing with folk all these years, the same with dealing with folk back then, the same with dealing with folk now, and God knows us, he made us, and he knows the words that we need to help us. And so we thank God for the word that continues to give us instructions and direct us so that we can not only survive but thrive in the different situations, circumstances, and the environments that we're living in. And just wanted to talk about that the different environments that we live in, how much we need the word. I would believe with Dr. G that spoke on last Thursday, said that, you know, we just need to continue to get into the word and get serious about the word and about what the word says that we should do, because and I believe you said it on last Thursday also, Sheila G, that the enemy's like a roaring lion going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom you may devour. And so, you know, with what you said and what Dr. G said, and, you know, the enemy's like that, like a roaring lion going through in the earth, seeing who can devour. Dr. G said we gotta get serious about the word, especially in the times that we live in. And I'm speaking out the times that we're living in now, as far as the reckoning, the whole, you know, thing of equal justice and racism and police brutality and inequality for black and brown people.
Right.
And so we have to make sure that we stay in the word. And that was one of the things that really caught my attention this week with the verdict in the police officer's trial against the state against the police officer for the George Floyd murder, was that the family of the Floyd family is they were rooted and grounded
right.
in the word of God, and they exercised their faith uh-huh. based upon the word of God. And you know, such tragic, such shocking, such transforming circumstances over a year ago since
right.
Floyd was killed or murdered. And the whole time the family stayed in the word. They stayed and kept, you know, their sanity and their wits about them because of their faith and their trusting in God and the word of God. And that was broadcast worldwide of what they were doing. And so, you know, what we do on Thursday night, what we do, you know, every night or every day when we get into the word, is what we do is we prepare ourselves for, and we were talking about the journey last Thursday, for the journey that God has commissioned us to be on. But like you said, and like Dr. G said, you know, the enemy is real. The challenges are real. And even as we studied last week, they stoned Paul and left him for dead. And you know, this is what reality is in our world, is that you know, we're going to be challenged. We're going to be stoned and left for dead. And some people even have loved ones that are murdered and left for dead.
Right.
But we have to hold on to the word of God and,
right.
and study, like Dr. G said, get serious about the word of God. And like you said, Sheila G, is to watch, pray, and know that the enemy is real out there. And so it's important for us to keep those things in mind. Sheila G.
Amen. And it's so that watch and pray, that's probably why one of my favorite songs is Oh Happy Day, because we have to watch, we have to pray. I remember one of the things that Ma used to say was regarding the storms, that either you were on your way, you are on your way into a storm, in the midst of a storm, or just coming out of a storm. But in all three of those, if you keep your hand in God's hand, you could still have peace of mind and joy in your heart, even with your bruises. And that's something, that's a part of being aware. And that's how, like you said, this family was for this whole year. The things that were impossible with man were made possible by God because they kept the faith. And, you know, even the anxiety, everybody was feeling like, here we go again, here we go again. But they kept their wits about them because their focus was on God. And what was so amazing about it is continue to be consistent. And as they came out of the quote-unquote storm, saw the justice, when they gave that press conference, they boldly gave God the glory and said a prayer before they started talking to the media. So that is what we have to be, bold soldiers, because not only did they show their walk through the tragedy and how they still have faith in God, God was able to use that, turn things around, and put the focus on him. But once they got the victory, they still gave God the glory.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, when we were studying last Thursday about when this lame man was healed, that there's some folks got beside themselves and start trying to give the credit to man. And Paul and Barnabas is like, no, we're men just like you. God is the one that did that. And they focus, put the focus back on God. And in these challenging times, and like this recent trial, it's so important that people see God in this, and God work this, and God keep people, and God, you know, deliver people, and God give people the strength. And yes, it's important for us to have, you know, support from mankind, but we need to make sure that we understand that God is the one that gives us the compassion, the ability, and the strength to be able to get through these things and be able to support each other in a manner that's pleasing unto God.
Well, you're right, and it's important, and which I'm glad they did. And I was touched by the fact that when Reverend Sharpton prayed the prayer, and he got teary-eyed, and there were others that got emotional also. You know, you're right. We have to put the, you know, we want to blame God for everything negative, but we have to put the focus back on the Lord. And if people would do that, you know, yeah, we're going to have our troubles, we're going to have our storms, but in God is where our trust has to belong. You know, we have to understand that, yeah, the Lord may allow us to go through some things, but if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? So we have to put that focus back on Him.
Amen, amen. And Sheila G., that's the importance of ministry, of the church coming alongside you. Sometimes you say people say, well, you need to, the church needs to stay in their lane, the church needs to do this. The people need God in all their walks of life, every way, in every shape and form. You need to rely on God. We don't live separate from God, you know, in our lives, but we live with God, and God is in us. And so it's important for us to realize the importance of ministry, the importance of fellowship, the importance of getting into the Word of God, and to study this Word like we're studying this Word. Like when that lame man that they got healed, and people went crazy and started offering, you know, gifts and stuff under Paul and Barnabas, they stayed focused. They stayed in the pocket with God. And through it all, this example lets us know that if we stay focused and we stay in that a mode of recognizing the enemy for who he is, knowing what the Word of God says about the things that the enemy will throw at us, and by faith carrying them out, that we can make it, we can get through, and that will give you hope. And so now in this post-verdict, what has happened is the church has been infused with a hope, or strengthened with hope, because we see that the struggle, oh my gosh, the struggle through the chaos and through the insanity and the ways of man has, that God came through. And when God comes through, when we talked a little about that last week, that's when you think you're like ready to throw in a towel, and many people had gotten to the place where they were conditioning themselves, preconditioning themselves for a non-guilty verdict. Many were positioning themselves for a place where they were going to say, see, this is what's happening. We never win. We never get to a place where we can see the victory. And just when you get to that place, that's when God delivers. That's when God gives you what you need, because Lord knows that we need some encouragement, and God knows how much we can take. He knows how much we can bear, and because He knows how much we can take and how much we can bear, what happens is when we get to that point where we feel like we can't win, when we feel like we're giving up, when we feel like it's just not worth it, then God comes through. And that's what I love about God, is that God never promised the road that would be easy, but He promised that He would be there with us. I think we want to go to Sheila G., but I think we lost them. I think they're going to be calling back in. But that's the point we want to make, is that God understands what we're going through. He understands what the challenges are, and he understands, you know, all of the things, all of the dynamics, and he gives us the ability to make it through. And so we're going to pick up Acts chapter 14, and as we pick up in Acts chapter 14, we're going to go back to verse 9, Acts chapter 14 and verse 9, and it says, and I'm sorry, Acts 16 verse 19, and as we go back to that, we're going to see just how in the midst of them being stoned that they got up and they kept on going. I believe I got Sheila G. You back with us now?
Yes, I am. And the crazy thing about it is these are the new phones that we just bought.
Oh, my gosh. It's acted up. But what I was saying before the phone kicked out was that God knows when to give us that infusion of hope, and
right.
and that before the verdict was given, people were preconditioning themselves for a letdown,
and we can't
operate in that doubt. You got to operate in faith. And people said, well, so many times we got let down, and people were preparing people for riots and all these things. And just when everybody thought it was going to be off the chain, God came through and made it perfectly clear that he was getting the victory. Sheila G.
Amen. He really did. He came. I think he shocked the world, to be honest with you, because I think everybody, like you said, even those that were optimistic about the case that was put on, we're remembering what happened with, say, like Rodney King way back when, and all Eric Gardner and all of those. So it was like, well, I guess, and even the prosecution, they put like the lowest one on there to kind of cover their bases based off history. So no one expected it to really be on all accounts. But God's like, he does that. He allows things to happen to you sometimes to get your attention. And then once he has your attention, he just blows it out of the water so that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's the one that delivered you.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, I forgot where I was looking at the day. They were talking about how God will step in and do the impossible. And you're right. You know, just when times look kind of bad, or when you think something is just going to happen again, that's when the Lord will step in and just remind everybody, I got this. And, you know, he has to do that every so often because, again, you know, we're giving man all of the credit. And when you look at that particular case, within my gut, I felt that the Lord was going to do it. I mean, we've been praying all along, Lord, let justice be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, the Lord stepped in just in time. And that's the way he does things.
Amen.
Amen, amen. And it's a dynamic of God, that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts.
Right.
And he's infinite in wisdom, and he sees the beginning and the end at the same time. He's not boxed into a time frame. And so with our finite mind, we say, why do people have to die in
mm-hmm.
order for progress to be made?
Yeah.
And it's painful to
mm-hmm.
to see people die in order for progress to be made. And I think back to Dr. King, Dr.
Right.
Martin Luther King, and that you know, and all the civil rights leaders, that many had to die in order for progress to be made. But God gives me clarity And I'm not going to preach now.
Go ahead.
But in order for us to be saved, good God Almighty, Lord have mercy, the Son of God had to come down through 42 generations. I said I wasn't going to preach now. I'm not going to preach. And in spite of the good that he did, come on now, and the love that he shed, God so loved the world, that's what John 3:16 said, that he gave his only begotten Son. So what do you mean he gave? He had to die so that we may live. I'm going to run around the room. Y'all take it from here. Sheila G., go ahead. I'm going to leave that alone.
And it's so true, because when it all happened this week with the justice being served, I thought back to what life was before the pandemic, before the situation with the brutality with George Floyd, before the Breonna Taylor, before, you know, everybody was going along doing their own thing. But God had to get us to sit down, be locked in, so he could get our attention, so that we could get the word out to see, I love you. Without me, you can't do nothing. But once with the pandemic came through, then with the shooting of George Floyd, it was horrible and tragic to see, but it woke everybody up, that whole thing about staying awake and being alert, because everybody was doing their own thing and falling by the wayside and taking God for granted. So God said, okay, let me stir some stuff up so you can see why you have to put your hand in my unchanging hand. And as a result of that, it brought people together of all colors, not just brown folk, not but some white folk, old folk, young folk. Everybody came together between the pandemic and between this. And you had to recognize that was God doing what he had to do, gave us a year of it all. So here, a year later, just like Jesus' resurrection, we got the vaccine now. People are getting healthy now. We can start opening up now. We've seen justice now. But the sacrifice had to be made in order to get our attention, in order to really say, okay, God, we're trying to do it our way. We just jacked everything up. Now is the opportunity that on national TV, somebody says, let us open up a word of prayer first. And they didn't cut the cameras off. And you know that is nobody but God. More people are running to the Lord, their prayer closets, because of the challenges that we face, things that we had taken for granted. God, now we're going back to our moral compass, whereas we had lost it previously. But a year later, now we're like, okay, we made that sacrifice. People's lives had to be sacrificed in order to wake us up. Now God's like, lift up the pedal now. Just a little, so that you can, now you have to understand what your faith can do.
Amen. Dr. G, help me out. I'm still in preaching mode. Go ahead, help me out.
Well, you know, I was sitting here thinking, because, you know, when you think about everything that's been going on, really nothing has changed since biblical days.
Right.
Jesus had to come down, die for mankind in order to set us free from our sinful natures, from the sins of the past, the present, and the future. People had become so comfortable in where we were that, you know, we were doing things, just going through the motions. Folk were just going to church when we feel like you're doing the same old bag. But it had to, the Lord had to do something to kind of wake folk up and let them know that, you know, your arms are too short to box with me. And then in the midst of the pandemic, what Sheila was saying, you think about the hurricanes, the weather, the tornadoes, everything that has taken place. And God is still trying to remind folk. And then when I look at, you know, these politicians, you know, everybody has put their little boat in the water surrounding Trump. Trump been gone, so now they're still acting stupid. So he's still trying to wake people up and get them to understand it's not about what you want, it's about what I want. And so we as a people, those of us that know the Lord, have to really understand that, you know, we have to put our focus back on the Lord. I mean, I thank God that my faith has always still been strong, whether in the pandemic or out of the pandemic, or go to work, ask on, leave the work, come on home. No, don't need no visitors, but it's still all about God. And yet you've got some that have turned their back on the Lord and trying to do their own thing, but then you've got some where the Lord is literally waking some folk up.
A lot more people have either drawn apart or drawn closer. You find a lot of people have drawn closer because they recognize the shortness of man. So that's what God kind of showed. It's like, I am all-powerful. So you have a choice. You can follow me, you can follow the devil. But if you follow me, I will make you fishes of men. I will give you the victory, even in the midst of confusion and craziness and the midst of your storm.
Amen, amen. And God will show you. God will show you your enemy.
Yes.
He'll bring that thing out, or people can see it in broad daylight. I look back at the January 6th, the storming of the Capitol, United States.
And, they still didn't win.
shows you, you know, the enemy of what that type of influence will have on people. And people can get influenced to do the wrong thing. Takes us back to Acts 14, where you know, Paul and Barnabas are telling people, don't get influenced by man, don't get influenced by the wrong thing, because you end up doing the wrong thing. Stick with the word of God, and they pointed to the word of God. And yet when people tell people that they're following the wrong thing, following the big lie, following things out of God, sometimes they dig their heels in and they retaliate in a violent manner. And this is what happened to Paul and Barnabas when they were telling them, you know, don't get in the way of the things of God for man, because it leads you down the wrong way. And they got mad and they attacked him. So if we go to Acts 14, verse 19, and it says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people. And so you have people that will persuade people that even in the midst of the blessings of God and God pouring out his manifold blessing, to turn against God, to turn against the people of God, and actually try to take them out, try to take out the things that are turning for righteousness and turning away from unrighteousness. And in that second part of Acts 14, verse 19, it says, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And so in ministry, you see that God allows people to go through great trials and tribulations that would cause the focus to be on him. And not on man, and tries to, through that, people demonstrating faith in the midst of great adversity, so people can say, what is it about this people, and what is it about them and their God that allows them to be able to endure this type of hardship, to endure this type of mistreatment at our hands? But they still trust God, and they still reach out to us in love. And and through that type of faith and that type of walking by faith and demonstrating your faith, there will be some who will turn from their wicked ways and be converted. But it's a thing of the wisdom of God that shows people the love of God in the midst of that, because the word of God says that, you know, we were enemies against God. We were without God. We were far from God. But God looked past our faults and saw our need. And so that Jesus died even while we were yet sinners. The Bible says Christ died for the ungodly while we were yet sinners. And so through these sacrifices of people of God in ministry, and here Paul and Barnabas, Paul getting stoned, people are saying, how can we stone this person still love us, still love people, and still preach the good news of Jesus Christ that people would be saved. And that's the good news of the gospel, and that's the demonstration of Christ Paul would do this. And like we were talking about earlier, they thought he was dead. They stoned him and drug him outside the city. He thought he was dead. And it's amazing that people will think that people, we've misused them, we've treated them bad, we had racism against them, we've treated them with slavery and prison and shooting and all of these things, but yet they look like they were dead, but they keep getting back up. I can't remember who it was that said that in America, how can those that are treated so bad in America keep loving America? And I can't remember what, I think it was Doc Rivers. I can't remember what part of last year he said it, but how do people in America who are abused continue to love America when people in America keep treating you so badly? And so Paul was being stoned, but he got back up. In verse 20, he says, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city the next day and departed with Barnabas to Derbe." And so we see that there is a thing that God allows us to do is to overcome evil with good. And so even when they stoned him, and even when they drug him out, he got back up. And that's the thing about people who have been mistreated, people who have been put in slavery, people who have been discriminated against, people who have been downtrodden, that they realize, kind of like Paul said in the spiritual warfare in the letter to Ephesians, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, against principalities in high places. And so their focus is on the spiritual things of God. And so that's how they can get up. And that's how their faith is demonstrated. So those few who, or those who mistreated you, abused and used you, can see your faith and say, what is it about this God that they serve, that they can walk by faith and not by sight, and love me in spite of me, and offer me this good news that I can receive this good news or this salvation that they're talking about? And how can they do this? And I want this power. And the power comes from God. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's what helps you to keep going. And that's what will take you out of your emotions. Because if you look at it from your flesh and a human standpoint, yes, you will give up and you will say, forget it. But if you can constantly recognize by prayer, study, and having that personal relationship with God, you know that this is a spiritual battle. You may be able to touch my body. You may be able to touch my feelings, but you can't touch my soul. So I'm going to dig deep down inside, put my trust in God, persevere, and push through, because God, with no weapon formed against me, shall prosper. He'll make your enemy your footstool. He leads me beside the still water, surely goodness and mercy. So you just start calling those things, which takes you out of your human emotions and helps you to walk spiritually and by faith. That's how you can get through and persevere through all these challenges.
Amen, amen. And the one thing I want to pick up in verse 20 is when you're down and out and you're meeting almost to an inch of your life, What happened is the disciples in verse 20, Acts 14, verse 20 says, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up." And it's key that you have a support system.
Right.
And I'm not just talking about a worldly support. I'm talking about a support system of believers in God.
Yes.
And sometimes we take it for granted, and sometimes people are led astray that they don't need anybody, they don't need believers to rally around them, to fellowship. But that's a trick of the enemy to try to get you isolated. So when you get wore down, you can't have somebody to say a word for you or give you a hand or pray with you or pray for you or to just listen. And you know, there's a mental health that goes along with suffering that people go through physically. And so along with your physical and your emotional, there's a mental stress that goes on, or some people will go into depression. Sometimes people feel like taking their lives because of the mental stress. And so in your physical, in your spiritual warfare, and your emotional warfare, there's a mental part to this. And a lot of times people don't talk about that. It's kind of like taboo in the Black community that there is a mental element to our existence. And a lot of times, because we don't talk about it, we isolate ourselves, and that's what depression will do to you. It'll isolate yourself.
Right.
It'll get you by yourself and get you turning to yourself and your devices, and you don't feel like praying. You don't feel like worshiping. You don't feel like reading the Word of God. And so now, not only are you weak physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and so it was important that Paul got around this type of followers of Christ, believers in God, that would minister to him and encourage him, and it's important that we have a support system that can minister to us, and that we can minister to each other, so that we can rise back up in a from our moments, our low moments, our low point, and all of us have low moments and low points. And all of us suffer emotional fatigue, mental fatigue, physical fatigue, spiritual fatigue. And the Bible teaches this. And it's important for us to drill down sometimes on this and say, hey, this is what I'm going through. And I need to get on this prayer line. I need to get on this Bible study. I need to go to worship. I need this because my mental is getting a little weary, and I need to be picked back up. Sheila G.
Amen. And we hear that a lot of times, like when we have service, testimony, prayer service, Bible study, each and every one of us will say that we are thankful for our family and our Christian family and our church family, because we go to the fueling station, because our daily lives and what we have to do will wear you down. And by having that fellowship and having the people, you don't feel alone. So you get that feeling, you hear somebody else's testimony, it builds you up. And we need each other. And that's why the whole mind thing is important, because that's why he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it even talks about that in Colossians 3 as well. It's about where you have to know to do this unto God. Whatever you're doing, you serve unto God, because if not, your mind will take you into a dark, deep place. But you renew your mind by continuing to connect with him as well as with others.
Amen, amen. Dr. G, want to chime in on it?
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I stress to new birth is that, you know, we are all in this thing together. And, you know, people, you can call it pride, emotional pride or whatever, they seem to think that when they're going through something, they have to go through it by themselves. You know, I encourage folks, look, you know, we are all in this together as a spiritual family. We're going to cry together. We're going to suffer together. Then we're going to rejoice together. And it's not
Amen.
So much
Amen.
That you have to share all of your personal business with everyone. If you go back
That's
and
right.
read the Word, the Lord sent the disciples out two by two. They would have somebody there to as a support system. And
Amen.
In this world, dealing in what we have to do, you need somebody that you can depend on, somebody, as you said, if nothing else, will just be there to listen.
Amen.
You don't really have to say a word, just be there. I had one of my young men called me, I think it was last week, and just sharing some things. Was like, you know, I've told these young folk as well as the old folk, look, anytime y'all need to call, call.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, I'm going to listen to you. I may not give you any advice. I may give you, depending on what the Lord say, but I will listen to you. I'm there for you. And we have to get to the point where people have to be able to trust what we say. I mean, we're living in a world of distrust right now. You can't trust a lot of these preachers. You can't trust the churches. But you have to be able to trust in God. And if you will depend on the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you as to who to go and talk with, the Lord will put you in touch with the right person. Because, no, you can't share everything with everybody.
That's right.
So you have to be very careful about who you talk with and who you get information from.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's so, so important. And Jesus had a small inner circle that he dealt with. And you can't, some things you can't say to everybody.
Right.
He said
right.
But the disciples rallied around and they rallied around Paul. And he was able to get back up. And that's the thing that in ministry, people think that, you know, that you're always going to be 100. You know, you're always going to be, you know, at 100%. But, you know, we need each other. And you know, you pull on each other. When one's a little slow, the other one will pick them back up, speak a word of encouragement. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. Listen sometimes, and it's okay. It's okay to say, hey, I'm not 100 right now, you know, and you have to recognize that and be willing to reach out and say, hey, let me get in touch with, you know, these disciples or in this fellowship that I can get a little bit of filling up.
Amen.
To be able to get back up and get back in the battle, because the battle's not going to end. it's going to keep raging, but I like what you were saying about, you know, we're gonna celebrate together and you know, getting back to that verdict. They celebrated that as a victory for that whole year, the Floyd family, that they got some accountability for the murder of their loved one, and that's what God will do. He'll get you back up. And so when we go back to that verse 19. You know, it said that they stoned him and they took him out of the city. But he in verse 20, he as his disciples stood around him, he rose up and came back into the city. So he got back up and he got back in line and he got back into ministry and got back in doing what God wanted to do. And that's what, you know, we want to. I guess we're getting ready to go to the phone lines, but we want to tell people, you know, have you realized that you can get back up with the help of God? You can get back up and get back in line. That you know God like that. If you have a support system that will rally around you when you're down, they can minister to you, and then you can get back up and get back in line and keep going. And everybody I've known has gotten to a point where they've fallen down, or they've fallen out, or they weren't 100, whatever it was. Yeah. You don't have to be specific about what it was, but between you and God, you God brought you someone, or God sent you someone, or God sent you a word that
right.
you were able to get back up and get back in line. And this is what Paul did. He was physically beat down. His disciples came and rallied around him, and to prove, when they left you for dead, good God, I'm going to preaching mode again. When they left you for dead, come on now. God picked you up. Dusted you off. Somebody, songwriter, said he picked me up, turned me around, planted my feet on the solid ground, and the Lord looked way down and picked me up. Another songwriter said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more, but the Master of the sea heard my disparaging cry. From the water lifted me. Now faith am I, because hey, love lifted me.
And
this is a word for us all, because all of us have gone through a rough, tough time. But
right.
God showed us the victory that he can provide. If you hang in there and stay with him, and we got to hang in there and stay with God, because in your darkest moment, God will send somebody. He'll send an angel. He'll send someone to help you get through your difficult time. And we just want to encourage you tonight to know that Paul went through difficult times. Our Lord and Savior went through difficult times. All of us are going to go through some difficult times. But we can rely on the Lord, and the Lord wants us to be available to be used by him to encourage each other. And so we'll ask this question. We'll rephrase the question. You know, how important it is for us to encourage each other during difficult times. How important is it for us to encourage each other during difficult time? We're going to go to the phone lines. First caller we're going to go to tonight, last four digits, 6309. You on there?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, I realize how important it is to know that that you can fall and you can get back up. And I'm so thankful, because I done fell down so many times, but I didn't give up. What I was doing it to myself. And I realized that the Lord was with me, and he didn't take his hands off me. And every time I fell, I got back up. And I also was very, very thankful to have a good church family, a good support system. You know, like you said, you can't talk to everybody, but I had a few that I could talk to, and I didn't have to worry about what I said beating me back, you know, before I could get out of church.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good thing for me. And the Lord just let me know who I was and that how much I mattered. And I just got a hold to myself, and I just appreciated him. And I just, when I see somebody that's trouble, my family, anybody, the first thing I do is try to talk to them, because we can't make nobody do nothing, but we can encourage them and I try to give back what I was shown and what the Lord did for me. And it's a wonderful, powerful thing. And when you got the Lord on your side, you got it all. I mean, I don't care how bad things look, he's going to bring you through. So it don't have to be bringing you through like you want him to bring you through. He's bringing you through because he know what lies up ahead, and he's going to do the very best for you at all times. We don't have to like it, but we will grow to like it. But I know when he came and he changed me, it's just nobody just can't tell me nothing, you know. And the devil, he's been after me. He's going to continue to come after me. But it's up to me to show what I got. And I got my strength, my tools. I got my tools. He left us all tools. We have to use those tools. You know, we have to use them, and we will have the victory. We don't have to put no time on the victory, but you know, if it's of God, God is going to take care of everything, because that's what he said. He's going to make us better. He wants us to have life, and he wants us to have it more abundantly. But we got to do something, too. And I'm just so thankful to him that the little that I know, because I'm still a work in progress, but I'm a work in progress for the Lord, and I'm going to stand with anything that comes up against me, because I know I have the Lord, and I'm going to try to help anybody that I can that's going through the things that I went through. So you can see it. He'll let you see it when somebody needs just a talk or something. It's not that you got a minister. You just talk. Give them what the Lord showed you, and that's going to work every time. But I'm just thankful. So I know the importance of it. I'm just so thankful. And I want to continue to live for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this evening. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I truly thank God for for just being so merciful and for just sending different ones into my life and just allowing me to have a church family, allowing me to have a family and just having friends that can support and help sometimes. And sometimes people say things to you and they don't even know that they are encouraging you. And mm-hmm. I know that God has touched them from some of the things that they say, you know, because I have not said anything to them, but it's like they know just at that particular moment the right thing to say. And it doesn't have to be a whole lot. Sometimes it's just a few words. But it's so much of an encouragement. And so, yes, we do need that support. We do need one another. My heart rejoiced so much tonight, Pastor. And Pastor Gregory and Evangelist Gregory, I was asked to share some words of encouragement this morning on a prayer line. And it was a lesson from the cross. Jesus taught on forgiveness. And the things that you all talked tonight was the things that the Holy Spirit gave me. And I just thank God for the blessing and for the confirmation because it was strength, encouraged me. And I just thank God that his word is true.
Yes,
and God will confirm. He will confirm. And the reason why we can wait, God's children can wait. It's because he has put the Holy Spirit inside of us. He has put his love and his forgiveness inside of us. And when we pray and ask for that patience to give us that endurance, God give us the strength to endure. We can't do it on our own, but he give us the strength to hold up. And sometimes it's many, many years before we see justice. But God will hold us because he has his own time. He knows when we're ready because sometimes we want it and we're not ready for it. And so God knows when we're ready for it. And God does everything on time and in his own time. And he's such a good God. And not only he was righteous and justice with the trial, but also with the medicine that we needed. And going through this sickness, as many people have passed, and Lord knows we did not want to lose these many people. But I do believe that just as many people that has been lost will be saved, if not more. Because God is going to get the glory. He had a purpose and a reason for everything. And as you shared earlier in Bible study, it was through Jesus' death that we had the victory.
That's
right. It was
through
Jesus' death that we were forgiven. And so we are told to forgive others as we have been forgiven. And one of the things that I shared, you know, I said, I know that the policeman, I know that he's wrong and he has to be punished for what he done wrong. But I said, I don't want to see him die. I want to see him live because in the process of living, he has a chance to come to the Lord and maybe share it with somebody else. And so we don't, you know, when you get saved, you want to see other people come to Christ and know Christ.
That's right.
And so with him dying wouldn't bring a victory. The victory is when he comes to Christ and know who he is, and then he can share it with somebody else when he has that repentant heart. And I know everybody don't agree with me, but that's okay. That's fine, you know. But you have to let God deal with you on where you are and how you feel about different things. So I just thank God that as we grow daily, because it's a process, we grow
That's
in grace daily. And it takes time to get there. It takes only God can cleanse us. Only God can save us. Only God can remove the bitter roots. And a lot of us have bitter roots. And it can only come through that spiritual healing. And so only God can heal that. And through the process of time, seeing how God works through justice, because God don't want us to hold malice and hatred in our heart. God wants us to love. Because Lord knows we crucified Jesus, but yet he still died on that cross. He still said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. So he still paid the price for our sins, and he wants us to love and forgive and be like he is. But we can't do it in our own strength and power. We can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, much prayer and supplication, and asking God to lead us and direct us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits. 1411, 1411, you're on there.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, I can definitely say I don't know where I would be, maybe not even be alive without my support system. You know, before I really, you know, started taking this Christian walk seriously, you know, I would try to do things by myself. I would try to deal with things by myself. I would try to just, you know, figure it out on my own. And then I started realizing that, you know, it wasn't meant for me to be on this journey alone, especially when we're dealing with the trials and the tribulations of the worlds and the ups and downs. And there were times where I was just lost. You know, I was out here trying to figure it out and do it my way, and that wasn't the correct way. That wasn't God's way. And then only realizing that the support system was always there, I just never chose to tap into it. You know, God blessed me with a family that was embedded in the Word of God, not even just you know, my physical blood family, but he'd also put people around me in the church, but I never tapped into it because I didn't know that that's what I was supposed to do. So it's kind of like, well, what good is having these tools if you don't know how to use them, if you don't know what their purpose is for? So as I began to study, I started to realize I had all these resources. I have an abundance of support system, different people who were in the ministry or just people who knew a word of prayer. So even directly and indirectly, I've always had a support system. And oh, when I learned how to tap into that resource, I started drawing on that support system. And the most important part was I learned how to be a support system to someone else, because as I speak about those who encouraged me and those who, you know, kept me in their prayers and in their thoughts, I also was doing the same for other people. So it was kind of twofold. I learned how to tap into my support system, but I also learned how to support other people. And I think somebody touched on it earlier. You know, you can't tell everybody what's going on. And even though some people want to help, they may not be able to give you the best advice. And that was a tough lesson to learn, because some people I got along with, some people were great people, but I'm like, you know what? I can't go to this person for this specific thing. I need somebody that knows the Word of God, that's embedded in Christ. And that's how I was able to get through the tough times. You know, as I got older, I didn't start looking at my mom like, okay, that's just my mom, okay, that's just my dad. But I'm starting like, look, this is my mom, but, you know, I know she knows the Word of God. So we started having conversations about Christ in trials and tribulations. And as a result, we've grown, and our bond has grown even stronger to a level that I never thought, you know, we could reach. But, you know, I owe it all to, you know, me doing my part. You know, God's going to always do his part and be there, but he's only going to be knocking at that door for so long, you know. So we have to answer, we have to hear the call, and we have to do our part to make sure that, you know, we give God a chance, you know. And that's all he's asking for. God has shown us so many times, whether we've seen it or not, whether we believe it or not, or whether we know it or not, but God always shows us he's in control, and God will always take care of his people. But where we fail and where we fall short is we're not doing our part. And I had to really take a good look at myself in the mirror and start to ask myself, if, like, it sounds good on Sunday, but what are you doing Monday through Saturday when you're not when you're not in church? It sounds good when you're up there playing, but, you know, are those songs really in your heart? Do those words actually have meaning? Or it sounds good to encourage somebody on the church call, but what are you doing when that church call is over, when that hour is up? Are you out here encouraging people who may not have been on the line, or people who are strangers, or no one's around to hear you give all these great scriptures and words of encouragement? Are you really living that life? And I wasn't. You know, I was a fraud, and I'll sit here and say it on this call. You know, it sounded good, but I wasn't living that life. And then when I decided to take God seriously, to take his mission seriously and truly understand what it is to be a Christian and utilize that support system and understand that we're all in it together, that even though I'm living my life You guys are a part of my life. You guys are a part of my journey. And whether I'm having a great journey or a bad day or whatever, you guys are a part of it. So as this combined unit that we are, if I fall short, guess what? You guys fall short. If you guys fall short, I fall short. So even though we may not necessarily be there, I feel your pain. I feel your struggle. But guess what? I also feel when you're happy. I also feel when you're excited. I also feel for you when things are going great. So it's like we're spiritually linked. We're spiritually connected. So we have to have that support system in order to endure. Because remember, this doesn't end in a day, a year, whatever. This is supposed to be a lifelong mission, a lifelong journey dedicated every single day, no matter what you get up and go through. This is something that we've swore when we chose that God was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what we signed up for every day. And I can tell you now, I don't know who you are if you think you can do it and be successful without having a support system. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 3343. You're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I am not feeling today. I guess the devil been stacking me all day long. I'm not in my good mood today. And I just got on the end trying to catch you because I didn't want to lose you today. So I need God to do something to me, do something for me. But anyway, the devil just making me mad and saying some things in my mind. And I'm glad to listen to people saying the things that they're saying to sort of ease my mind to try to keep the devil off me and be able to pray so hard tonight to talk to God to do something for the pains I'm going through. But anyway, I'm sorry about not being polite. I always say, yes, God is important to me, and I've been so important to me for so long that I can't even try to illustrate the fact of where things are going. But anyway, I just want to say thank God for being so good and so blessed to me.
Amen.
God has brought me a mighty Amen. Long way. Thank you, ma'am.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call. Our last four digits, 5904. You're on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Sitting here thinking, I do believe that we need a support system. And some of the things that I have experienced dealing with life, being around those who was just what I would say had more problems than I, and it was almost like misery loves company because no one out of the group could really help anyone because we were all in our own little, I would say, septic tank. You know, we were all trying to get up, but nobody knew how to get up, and nobody knew how to help one another. But as time went by, when I started meeting people at work and found out that there was Bible studies on the job, people talking to me who have been in certain situations and they shared words with me, and I found myself that I look forward to, you know, not having lunch just to go to Bible studies because we were only given, you know, a certain amount of time at work. And it was good. It was good because I really needed that. I really did because I had so many questions and I knew that certain people were more knowledge in the Bible than I. And I would sit there and I would listen, I would ask questions, and it helped me. So when I came across people who had been through or similar situations, I was able to share some things with them. And one thing I learned that you can't live in this world by yourself. Everybody needs someone, but being with the right one to help you, you know, maybe not tell you what to do, but help you get to where you need to go as long as it's done in a godly way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. going to go to our next caller, our last four digits, 7237. You're on air. 7237.
I'm here.
Like they're listening. Go ahead. 7237.
I ain't got nothing to say, sir. But God
okay.
bless you all.
All right. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, 8760. 8760, you on air? All right, let's be listening in. We're going to go to our next caller. Last word is 7971. 7971, you on air?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
This has been a very uplifting discussion tonight, and it's something that we Christians strive off of when it comes to encouraging someone else, or when it comes to time in your own personal life when you need encouragement or you need someone to lean on. And I found down through the years in my journey with the Lord is that you should always stay connected with God first. That's the key. And he will guide your path to the right people to be in your life. And people can say sometimes that's being selfish or you think you're better than somebody else. But God wants your best. In order to receive his best, you have to give him your best. And I've always, as a child, for my mom, when you would go to her, she would always stay spiritual, never deviating, ever. And it puzzled me. But she used to say, and she would come down hard on you, and she would say, don't get mad with me, get mad with the Lord, because I just told you what he said. And that is so true. And when you have this kind of teaching that you all are giving us tonight, it builds up your stamina to encourage others, and you pass it on spiritually. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And when you see somebody in distress, it will come easy for you mm-hmm. to comfort them, share God's word, lift them up. Or when it really gets in a situation where you know that you can't handle it and it's a little too big for you, you take it to the Lord. You take it to the Lord. And he will give you everything you need. I am a walking, living testimony of what God can do in any situation. And when you have a support group supporting you, know the Lord, live it, and you can go to them and you can unite together as a spiritual family. And this, what we are doing right now, is my spiritual Amen. Group, my prayer warriors, love them all. They lift you up. They give you the kind of guidance, spiritual guidance, that God wants you to have. To hear the young people on this line speaking of the Lord, knowing what it's going to take for them to succeed and be the kind of Christian soul that God wants them to be. It makes my heart happy. And that's what I've always tried to pass on to others. God has given me a gift that I can just tell when somebody needs a word from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When you hold back and you don't share that and comfort someone, God is not pleased with that, because that's why he's so good to you. He doesn't want you to hold back. And when you have that spiritual support that's always there for you, I could call any time of day or night, and they're there. And the same with me. That is something that God gives you, and you can speak boldly about the Lord, and it comforts someone, regardless to what the situation might be. And the support group, when you say, well, I got to turn this over to the prayer warriors, we got to get together on this. And when you do that, he's mighty. God is so mighty. And I say this to you, Pop Richardson, we will lift you up on Tuesday morning. We will lift you up right now. Whatever it is, God's got it. He's got it. He's got his angels camped around you right now. Right now, in this circle, this sacred circle that you just tapped into, God doesn't miss nothing. He knows it all. We don't need to know the situation. He's got it. All we have to do is ask him in his name. He's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you. You don't have no idea how powerful this sacred circle that we have on this line tonight is. I can tell you, this same circle, sacred, spiritual, godly circle right here, is mighty, mighty. God loves you, and so do we. Go to sleep in peace.
Amen.
You're going to wake up in the morning. You might weep tonight, but I guarantee you joy going to be in the morning. This is what this is all about. Not a one of us should have to even worry about anything. According to God's word, if you believe it, receive it. It's yours. It's all of ours. Why? Because God's word said. I pray for every one of us, the leaders that have touched my life these 80 years. And I thank God for every one of them. It's just so happened, some of them are my children, and I love them with all my heart. And they know it. They know it. So, peace be still. Receive what God says yours. This is encouragement to lift you up tonight. God loves you, and so do we.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight, Sheila G. A good Bible study, good testimony. Final words, and close it out in prayer, please.
Amen. Just want to say, let us just continue to pray to God and encourage one another, realizing that we have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you once again for allowing us to have another good Bible study lesson. Lord, I pray that we will take the things that we've discussed and what you've given us, hide it in our hearts, but let it show up in our outward appearance, Lord. We want to send up a special prayer for Brother Richardson, Lord, that you would touch his heart,
yes,
touch his mind, give him peace, and give him strength, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.